This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله The 22nd night of Ramadan I think this time next week, Wednesday, could be our last Taraweeh if Eid is on Friday. So only a few days to go. May Allah bless us in that. One question that came in with regards to attending the masjid for the ladies. Now this was if you know why, there's a controversial issue in the media a couple of days ago with regards to other parts of the country. There aren't facilities for women. And Alhamdulillah, in the Cape we do. So what is the ruling? The Prophet, peace be upon him, very clearly, unambiguously said, do not prevent the ladies from attending the masjids. He made it a point, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that said, do not prevent the women from coming to the masjids. However, he told the sisters that it is better for them, it is more rewarding for them. They will get more reward if they pray at home. So a sister came and said, Ya Rasul, I love to pray with you. So he says, I know you love to pray with me, but to pray in your room is better than in your courtyard. And to pray in your courtyard is better than in your local masjid. And to pray in your local masjid is better than praying in my masjid. But the discretion is for the sisters. They can choose, and the Sharia has allowed them that flexibility to choose. And subhanAllah, everyone needs to make that choice. So sisters usually ask, is it better for me to come to a Qiyamul Layl program or to make my own Qiyamul Layl at home? In this case, it would appear the reward would be better for the ladies to make their own Qiyamul Layl program at home, so long as they're doing it, you know, properly and they're spending that amount of time at home. And at the end of the day, this should not be an issue that we argue about. And the Sharia has given the flexibility in that. Well, alhamdulillah. So with the sisters, your discretion. For the men, best for you to be in the masjid. There's no objection. Even Jumu'ah, for the sisters to attend as well, permissible. We've said this before many times, that the reason why we have a minbar, why do we have a minbar, was because one of the sisters said, Ya Rasulullah, as the jama'ah is getting bigger, we can't see you anymore, we can't even hear you. Allow me to build you, my slave, to build you a pulpit, so you can stand up, so we can see you. And the Prophet said, yes, no problem, I agree, that's a good idea. So today we all have a minbar because of a sister. And a specific day in the week, Tuesday, was given for the ladies alone, ladies only classes. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, made the masjid accessible, but still advised him, the best for you is to be at home to perform salah. But the discretion is yours, walhamdulillah. Back to Surah Al-Kahf. We completed the third story of Surah Al-Kahf, the story of Musa and Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, and now we will begin the last story of Surah Al-Kahf, the story of Dhul Qarnayn. Remember the rabbis and the priests asked the Prophet ﷺ for three questions. One of it was concerning the ruh, which was answered in Surah Isra. One of it was concerning the youth of the cave, that was the first story. And then they asked, tell us about the man who traveled the world. And that is Dhul Qarnayn alayhi salam. And if we look again, how do we tie these stories together? We spoke about the youth in the cave. We spoke about the man with two gardens. We spoke about Musa and Khidr alayhi salam. Now we'll talk about Dhul Qarnayn. What's the common theme of Surah Al-Kahf? Fitna. Tests. Tests by blessings. Tests through blessings. So, the blessing of youth, the blessing of wealth, the blessing of knowledge, and now the blessing of power. The power that one is tested in. And each one will have its own risks. Each one can be the means of corruption. And subhanAllah, perhaps of all these blessings, the most dangerous one is power. Whoever, the Prophet, peace be upon him, says to Abu Dharr, that power or authority is a means that will cause most of the people that have it as a means of humiliation and regret on the day of Qiyamah. Most people that enter, subhanAllah, this test is so difficult, that those of us who will find ourselves in position of authority, and usually what is meant here, political authority, but obviously it extends to other forms of authority, that there is a very big risk. There is a very big risk that one can fall off balance. That the Prophet, peace be upon him, says that we do not give authority to the ones who ask for it. A Sahabi asked, can I have, can I be the governor of a certain land? The Prophet says, we do not give authority to the ones who want it and who are anxious for it, who ask for it. They are not meant to have that. Rather, authority is given to those who understand the heavy amana. It's an amana, it's a burden that the authority comes with. The greatest leaders of this ummah, they would cry because they understood. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was for about a month in depression, and they asked him, Ya Amir al-Mu'min, why are you so depressed? He says, do you realize that on Qiyamah, not only would the people complain to me about me to Allah. Even the animals are going to complain that the roads were not fixed properly because Umar didn't fix the roads. Our hoofs were harmed. I'm going to be accountable for that. I mean, why did I accept this amana of being the Khalifa? Understood the amana of the authority. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, those who, for example, collect taxes, that, and subhanAllah, in our day and age, said, if you take one bit more of what is prescribed, or one thing you keep hidden, even if it's like a needle, then this will be a means which will enter the person in Jahannam. So this serious business, the issue of authority and public funds in particular. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now speak about a man who was given tremendous amount of power and authority, and he used it correctly. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him in that. The man who, subhanAllah, the person who is given authority and power and uses it correctly is a great reward. The Prophet says, the seven under the throne of Allah, the shade of the throne of Allah, the seven of them, the first one is an imam who is just. The very, very first category that is shaded by the shade of Allah on the day of Qiyamah is a ruler or a person of authority who is just. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, there are three people that you need to show respect for. As part of our Sharia, we show respect to them. A person in an advanced age, our seniors, we show them respect. Number two, the one who has memorized the Quran and acts on it, our Huffaz, we show them respect. And number three, a just ruler. We show them tremendous amount of respect, because these are very, very lofty people. So now we enter the story of Dhulqarnain. And of all the stories, subhanAllah, is perhaps the most cryptic. It will leave us with a lot more questions, as is the case with the surah. A lot of questions, and we learn from the previous stories, the fitna of knowledge, we don't ask unnecessary questions. We stick to what Allah has said, and we try to understand what is said here, and we learn from that. So Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ. They ask you about ذُو الْقَرْنَيْنِ. His name is not ذُو الْقَرْنَيْنِ, this is a title. ذُو means the possessor, the one who has. قَرْنَيْنِ, two corns. A corn is a horn, literally. So the man with two horns, the man who has two horns. Now, what does this mean? It could mean, some of the tafsir is that he literally had a helmet or a headgear, a crown or something that had two horns on it. Or it could mean, qarn also means, it means an epoch or an age, a century. A man who had two different ages. And this is a very deep kind of tafsir, talking about Dhul Qarnayn having the ability with time. He's got something to do with time. And we will link it up with Ya'juj and Ma'juj, who appears in his time, and of course Qiyamah, they're also at the end of times. Also the ulama, but the standing definition here, is the man who ruled and traveled to two ends of the earth, because he would travel east and west. So the qarns, as Allah mentions, the sun rises in the horns on the one side and sets in the horn on the other side. It's like Dhul Qarnayn has traversed the two sides of the globe. This is different, again, Allah alam, but literally it means the man who has two horns. So Allah says, you ask about this man. Kul sa'atlu alaykum minhu dhikra. Say, Prophet sa'atlu, I will recite to you a little bit of his story. Only a mention of his story. I'm not going to tell you, just a mention. You asked about it, so I'll tell you. Inna makkanna lahu fil ard. That surely Allah says, we established him in the earth. We made him very strong and powerful in the earth. Wa ataynahu min kulli shay'in sababa. Not only did we give him power, we gave him the means of everything. Again, what does this mean? We gave him the means or the pathways to access, pathways to travel, far paths he was able to traverse. Whether he was given some unique kind of technology, whether he was given some kind of shortcuts, Allahu Alam. You know, in Surah Ma'arij, Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ ذِي الْمَعَارِجِ. To Allah belongs the shortcuts in the samawat. That there are shortcuts to travel, a means by which travel is made short. So Allah says, we gave Dhul Qarnayn the ability to travel to any place he wanted. فَأَتْبَى سَبَبًا. So he took one of these ways, he took one of these routes that Allah had blessed him with. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَغْرِبَ الشَّمْسِ. Until he reached a place where the sun was setting, meaning he went to the western side of the world. وَجَدَهَا تَغْرُبُ فِي عَيْنٍ. He found the sun, it appeared to be setting in a water, حَمِيَةٍ, muddy, murky, boiling kind of water. وَوَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا قَوْمًا. And close to this lake that was muddy and murky, there was a group of people living there. كُلْنَا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, some mentioned because of this, it could appear that he's a Nabi even. Or you could be inspired to him. قُلْنَا يَا ذَا الْقَرْنَيْنِ أَوْ ذُو الْقَرْنَيْنِ إِمَّا أَن تُعَذِّبَ وَإِمَّا أَن تَتَّخِذَ فِيهِمْ حُسْنًا. So Allah said to Dhul Qarnayn, which of them would you punish and which of them do you treat in kindness? Now, what is the justice of Dhul Qarnayn? So Dhul Qarnayn responds, قَالَ أَمَّا مَنْ ظَلَمَ فَسَوْفَ نُعَذِّبُهُ ثُمَّ يَرُدُّ إِلَى رَبِّهِ فَيُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا نُكْرًا. As for the one who is oppressive, who is a tyrant, who abuses others, who harms others, we will punish him in this world, and then we will return him to Allah to be punished more severely. Right? So we will punish him here, and then Allah will punish him even more seriously. وَأَمَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَهُ جَزَاءَ الْحُسْنَى. But as for the one who believes and works good deeds, he's a good person, he shall have the best of rewards. وَسَنَكُولَ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا يُسْرًا. And we shall speak unto him mild words. We will give him mild instructions. We will be easy with him. We will be easy, gentle with the doers of good and harsh with the doers of evil. So this is Dhul Qarnayn's policy. ثم أتبع سببا. So he left this people. Then he took another pathway. حتى إذا بلغ مطلع الشمس. So when he came to the eastern side of the world, a place where the sun rises, وجدها تطلع على قوم لم نجعل لهم من دونها سترا. He found a people that had no protection from the sun, meaning a very, very primitive kind of people. They didn't have structures. They might not even had completely clothing. They lived a very, very basic kind of existence. كذلك. So Allah, so he says, and so, meaning either Dhul Qarnayn just left them as that. He did not interfere with them. He did not take their resources. He didn't colonize them. He came to them, very primitive people. He just left them as they were. وَقَدْ أَحَطْنَا بِمَا لَدَيْهِ خُبْرًا. And he left them. And Allah says, we know all about Dhul Qarnayn. ثُمَّ أَتْبَى سَبَبًا. Now this is the third journey of Dhul Qarnayn, the one that has all the questions. He took another journey. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ بَيْنَ السَّدَّيْنِ. When he reached a place between two huge mountains, وَجَدَ مِنْ دُونِهِمَا قَوْمًا لَا يَكَادُ يَفْقَهُونَ قَوْلًا. He found a group of people that were so cut off from civilization, he could not communicate with them at all. It was very difficult that he found to communicate with them. Nonetheless, قَالُوا, yeah, they were able to communicate in a way, and they said, يَا ذُو الْقَرْنَيْنِ إِنَّ يَأْجُوجَ وَأَجُوجَ مُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That verily Ya'juj and Ma'juj are causing great mischief in the land. فَهَلْ نَجْعَلَكَ خَرْجًا عَلَىٰ أَن تَجْعَلْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ سَدًّا. So, can we give you money? Can we pay you in order that you might build some barrier between us and Ya'juj and Ma'juj? قَالَ مَا مَكَّنِّي فِيهِ رَبِّي. So Dhul Qarnayn says, that which Allah has given me is better. But فَعِينُوا بِكُوَّةٍ عَجَلْ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ رَدْمًا. But give me assistance in manpower. I don't need your money, I don't want your money, but assist me with manpower so I can build this thing. آتوني زُبْرَ الْحَدِيدِ. Give me blocks of iron. حَتَّى إِذَا سَوَى بَيْنَ السَّدَفَيْنِ قَالَ انْفَخُوا. And when he packed these blocks and he closed off the, so remember the mountain had a gap. He closed this gap. He said, blow on it. He said, blow on it. حَتَّى إِذَا جَعَلَهُ نَارًا. And these blocks of iron turned into fire. قَالَ آتُونِي أُفْرِحْ عَلَيْهِ كِتْرًا. And then he poured over molten copper. فَمَا اسْتَطَاعُوا أَنْ يَظْهَرُوا. So that they were unable to scale, climb over this barrier. وَمَا اسْتَطَاعُوا لَهُ نَقَبًا. And they were unable to break through it. So Dhul Qarnayn said, قَالَ هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّي. This is a mercy from my Rabb, from my Lord. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي جَعَلَهُ دَكَّ. But when the promise of my Lord comes, this barrier will be flattened completely. وَكَانَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي حَقًّا. And the promise of my Lord is true. It will come to pass. وَتَرَقْنَا بَعْدَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَمُوجُ فِي بَعْثٍ. And on that day when the barrier is completely broken, they Ya'juj will come out and they will swarm like waves on top of each other. وَنُخِرَ فِي السُّورِ فَجَمَعْنَاهُمْ جَمْعًا. And soon after that, the trumpet, the horn will be blown, and Allah will gather all of them, all of us together, meaning Qiyamah. Very deep, deep story. We'll go into the analysis of the story tomorrow, inshallah. Questions? We asked what Khidr alayhi salam, he rebuilt the wall. What we asked, what was underneath that wall? The answer, of course, was the treasure. There was a treasure under the wall which belonged to two orphans. That they would get when they're older. Tonight's question, very easy. Dhul Qarnayn translates as, he of the two swords, he of the two horns, he of the two voices, he of the two horses. Very easy. And you can answer online, as we said, on burhanul.org.za, and you can send your questions through to wismuhammad@gmail.com. Just a reminder, inshallah, of our Qiyamul Layl program this evening and tomorrow. Inshallah, Qari Nadeem would also be joining us tomorrow. And fitra, 40 rand, fidya, 10 rand, and 3,000 rand, inshallah, for those who'd like to sponsor a pot for the Mahrajan. A lovely thing to do on Eid. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.